You are listening to today's Modern Worship here in Brevard County, 91.5 FM, WMIE.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. Thank you for joining us here on the Refresh Radio program here on WMIE 91.5 FM, today's Modern Worship. And boy, does my voice sound low this morning for some reason. I don't know if it comes across the radio, but in my ears, I feel like I could mama sing, daddy sing bass, mama sing tenor. That's where I feel like I'm at today. So hope you are having a great day. We're going to be preaching this coming Sunday at Merritt Assembly of God. I'd like to invite you out. This Sunday marks our 72nd anniversary as a church. It was started many, many moons ago, and I've been pastoring now for 31 plus years, and we don't really have any major festivities planned or anything like that. But if you'd like to be a part of Merritt Assembly of God's future, we would be honored to have you come and worship the King, and to know him and make him known, and to be a blessing. And that's why we exist. We exist to be a blessing to God, to be a blessing to our family, to be a blessing to our church, and to be a blessing to our community. And so if that sounds like a church you'd want to be a part of, 165 North Grove Street, Merritt Island, Florida, 32953, just two blocks north of 520, and two blocks west of Courtney Parkway. That's where we are located. We have parking on the street. We have a parking lot in the back, and plenty of seats available. So we look forward to seeing you. And thank you for all of the words of encouragement through the years. People that we run across to and in the community and get to have conversation with, and people who stop by and introduce themselves and recognize us whenever we're out and about. We want to thank you for letting us know that this program is being a refreshing program to you. So thank you for all you do. Appreciate your prayers. Over the next 7 days, I've got a number of procedures that are taking place. And so any prayers that you would extend up on my behalf would be greatly, greatly appreciated. So Matthew chapter 5 today is where we're going to go, and we're looking at the Beatitudes. And verse number 1 of the Beatitudes said, "And seeing the multitudes, he went up on a mountain, and when he was seated, his disciples came to him. Then he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." And that brings us to verse number 8. "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." So today's verse that we're focusing on is, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." Purity is something that we kind of take for granted in our modern times, but things that people have participated in as far as eating and drinking have not always been so pure. I think back to watching, I think it was Back to the Future 3, and Marty McFly had traveled back into the times of the old West, and they offered him a glass of water, and he said, yeah, that would be great. And they handed him a glass of water, and it was brown. And for them, that was, you know, what they were accustomed to drinking. Now you and I look at that and say, no, I think I'll pass. Because we are used to things being filtered out that could do us harm. Many countries around the world have sickness and disease that is rampant throughout their community. And the reason for that is that they do not have water that is pure, that has filtered out a number of the things that cause sickness and disease. And because they don't have that filtration system in place, the water that they drink is not pure, and it causes all sorts of problems. It causes some people to be sick, and it causes people to die. So purity is not something that is unnecessary or flippant. It is very, very important. So this word pure here in verse number 8, it means to be pure or to be clean morally, innocent, and it means in the innermost being. And so when you and I are dealing with people in our community, one of the things that you have to evaluate, first of all, is what are their true motives? What are their true motives? Because I've interacted with people in the, let's see, we've been in Brevard County for almost 35 years, I guess. And I distinctly remember dealing with people whose motives were not pure. That this is not in a church setting, but it was in a business setting. They came to my home, and their motives weren't pure. They were looking to sell me a product, and their presentation wasn't forthright. My wife at one point in time was looking at doing some work out of the home long before people could work at home. She came across this one thing, and she presented the information to me, and I said, okay, this is what they are saying, but they are saying it in a deceptive manner. You are not going to be you would not be making that much money. You would be making a fraction of that money. And what they're telling you is that they would send you a check to cover the cost of the supplies that you covered. And whenever you realize that people's innermost being is not innocent and it's not morally pure, then you have to be on your guard when you are dealing with them, because if they are doing that intentionally, their motives for you are not good. One of the things that we have as Christians is we tend to think that other people are going to deal with us in a pure and upright manner because that's the way that we deal with people, in a pure and upright manner. Hopefully, that's the way you deal with people. Not all Christians do, but hopefully you do. So there is something in the world of relationships, and it's called projection, that they project their behavior onto others because they expect that people are doing to them the same thing that they do to other people. So people who are impure in their heart, in their innermost being, expect that you are dealing with them in not a pure fashion, not an upright manner, and therefore they're looking to gain the advantage over you because they think that you're trying to gain the advantage over them. And so we have heart issues in our society, and it largely comes back to the fact that there is not purity in our innermost being. Well, the promise here in verse number 8 is that they shall see God. So when you've got a lot of society, and they're blinded to the realities of God, what they are actually, what the actual cause is the fact that there's a heart problem, an innermost being problem that they have, and it is preventing them from seeing God. So it describes here this word of seeing. It means to see, to perceive, or to pay attention to. To see, to perceive, and to pay attention to. So there are some people who, because they are not pure in heart, they don't see God anyplace. I remember when The Passion of the Christ came out, there was a government official, and he took the word passion to mean love, and he said, I didn't see passion anywhere in that movie. Well, the word passion originally meant suffering. And if you fall in love with someone, there's going to be some emotional attachments, but there's also going to be some suffering in there, because if you love that person and they get sick, that they suffer, you suffer. If one of the person passes away, there's suffering there as well. And so whenever we make ourselves known in our innermost being, there is a vulnerability that comes there, and it is a risk worth taking. My wife and I, we've been married for decades, and it's not anything that I would have traded, because not always been perfect, because I'm not, you know, a perfect man or a perfect husband, wasn't a perfect father, I'm not a perfect father, not a perfect pastor. And so there's challenges that arise there. And, whenever those challenges arise, society a lot of times says, oh, you know, let's get rid of this and we'll start over again. But when I look at my wife, I see this purity and honesty that comes out of her heart, and she sees God in me. She sees God around the activities that go on in life. And so a lot of times we are blinded, not because God is not real and God does not exist, but we are blinded because of the impurities that are going on in our life. There's bias, and the bias that comes from some of our power centers here in America is off the scale. Now they no longer even try and conceal it. Now it is just blatant that there's bias, and they're not even trying to compensate for it. So the ability to perceive God is something that comes because we've allowed God to do a work in our heart, and because our society does not see God, does not perceive God, they don't pay attention to the commands of God. They don't pay attention to God's word. They don't pay attention to God's people, God's house. They don't see it anywhere at all. So, my wife had a birthday in the month of May. So did I. May babies are awesome. And she told me what she wanted for dinner, and we had some stuff in the freezer. And so she wasn't home from work. I got home. I started in on dinner, and she said that she wanted some sautéed zucchinis, yellow squash, and some sautéed sweet onions. And I know how to fix that. And so I had the entree already cooked, and it was resting, and, you know, it was going to be great, and it was did good on that. Yay, team. And so while that was resting, I decided I was going to cook the zucchini, squash, and onions. So I open the refrigerator up, and I look all over the place, and I can't find zucchini, and I can't find squash. I did find the onion. And I was hoping to have it done before she got home, even though it was going to be a tight schedule. And I looked all over the place. I couldn't find it. I did find a squash that I don't know how to cook. It was a different, like an acorn squash or something like that. And that's out of my league. Anything much beyond boiling water is out of my league, to be honest with you. But she knows how to cook that. I don't. And so I looked all over the refrigerator. I couldn't find it. And she walked home and she said, it's right there. And I said, I didn't see it. I looked all over the place. And without any hesitancy at all, of course, she knew where she had put it. She pulled out everything. And it's like, oh, man. But I couldn't see it, probably because I was rushing so much. But because I couldn't see it, I denied the reality that it was there. There's a saying that people have, and they said, oh, you looked for it with your man eyes. But I got to return the favor a little while later in the week because she needed her glasses. She couldn't find her glasses, and I was able to help her find her glasses. So let me take you to a passage that became very important in my life. Because I was doing a study on this concept of purity, and it's in Psalm 18, verse number 25, and it says this: with the merciful, you will show yourself merciful. Another translation says, to the faithful, you show yourself faithful. With a blameless man, you will show yourself blameless. With the pure, you will show yourself pure, and with the devious, you will show yourself shrewd. What this verse says is that we tend to have revelation from God of the things that we are, not the things that we want people to see us as, not the things that we want to be, but the things that we are in reality. And so it starts off with merciful or faithful. And so if you want to see the faithfulness of God, that's translated that way in the New International Version, I believe it is. If you want to see God's faithfulness at every turn, which Lamentation says, great is God. Thy faithfulness, O God. Morning by morning, new mercies I see, the hymn says. And so if you want to see God's faithfulness, then you need to be faithful. Faithfulness is an endangered commodity in our modern times. There is a great struggle for faithfulness in people's marriages. There is a great degree of... businesses try to get loyal and faithful customers. Churches are looking for people who will be faithful. And so there's all of this cry and recognition that for something to be successful, it is going to require that the people who are partaking in that, participating in it, that they will be faithful themselves. So the other aspect is merciful. We've already talked about that. And so if you are a practitioner of mercy, you will also find God revealing his mercy to you. With a blameless man, you will show yourself blameless. So there's a passage in the New Testament. I'm just going to break this psalm down these few verses just a minute. So, but in the book of Ephesians, I'm going to get over there in just a second. Give me just a minute. I might not. Oh. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the water, with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that he should be whole, that she should be holy and without blemish, and you know, without spot, without wrinkle, without blame. And so the only way that I can possibly be blameless for the things that I have done is for God to forgive me and wipe the slate clean. And he thankfully does that for us, but we've got to be willing to own that and say, okay, God, I've blown it big time. Would you forgive me? And so when we see God working in us and he has created a blemish-free, blame-free environment for us to thrive in, because Jesus has taken the sin, the shame, the blame, the guilt, he's taken all of that upon himself, then we no longer lob accusations against God, because we see that he is perfect. He is perfection. He's holy and he's absolute. So, verse number 26 of Psalm 18. With the pure, you will show yourself pure. So when we allow God to work in our heart, it creates in us the ability to perceive the purity of God, of his love, of his heart, of his attention. You know, they say that hindsight is 20/20. Have you looked in the rearview mirror lately? And by that, I mean not in a longing way to go back to the past, but have you looked in the mirror to see where God has brought you from? Because one of the great challenges that we have in our understanding of what God is doing in a moment is that we don't know what the next moment looks like. Transition is uncomfortable. Change is not something that everybody is eager to embrace. And so whenever change is going on, a lot of people want to question God's motives, God's care, God's word. They want to question everything about God. But when you've seen God purify your heart, you know that God's actions and the steps that he takes on your behalf, that they're coming from a heart of purity as well. The last one is in verse number 26, and with the devious, you will show yourself shrewd. The NIV calls that crooked. So I looked up the meaning of those words, and it means that with people who are not merciful, not faithful, not blameless, not pure, but they are crooked, they do not meet God's standard, they have not allowed God to straighten them. The scripture says, can that which is crooked be made straight? The answer to that question is yes, absolutely, God can do that. But it says there that the way that he deals with people who are not forthright, not upright, not pure in heart, not blameless, faithful, or any of that other stuff, it says you show yourself shrewd, and it gives the word picture of a God who is standing in front of you, trying to prevent you from going down that path that you are going on. And a lot of people would say, but the Bible says that God is for me and not against me. That is true for believers who are seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. But if you are on a road that is leading to destruction, we saw it again earlier this year where there was a road, there was a bridge, there was a cargo ship that wiped out the bridge, and fortunately they had managed to get most of the traffic stopped before the cargo ship hit the bridge, but still multiple people lost their lives because the bridge was out. And somebody had to position themselves and say, don't go down this way. You got to stop. Okay? God in his great mercy stands in the path of people who are relentlessly pursuing the broad path that leads to destruction. And he stands there with love. He stands there faithfully. He stands there with purity of heart and saying, this is not my plan for you. This is not my purpose. He's not standing there because he's your enemy. He's not opposing your path because he hates you. He's standing there because he needs you to repent, to take a detour and get you over to the path of life. I don't know how you see God, but I can tell you, I see God as a friend that sticks closer than a brother, because there have been times when God was the only person that I had that was sticking with me. I've seen God as a faithful provider, not just when I had things. When I didn't have financial resource, I saw God be a faithful resource provider. I know that God's path is a righteous path. He will lead us in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake, because my path would have never brought me to Merritt Island, Florida. But God's path did. And I know this, that the God who has purified my heart so that I can perceive what he's done in the past, I now can stand or sit here right now this morning and say, I can see God at work in present situations, and I know he's going to work in your future. So happy anniversary to Merritt Assembly of God, and thank you for listening. We will see you Monday right here on the Refresh Radio Program.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Waylon Duff with Keller Williams Space Coast Realty is a friendly, knowledgeable, active, and accessible real estate agent here in Brevard County. Keller Williams is known for real estate services all across the world, and Waylon specializes in helping buyers purchase the right place to call home, as well as helping sellers market and negotiate the sale of their single-family home, condo, vacant land, or business. Waylon Duff can be reached at 321-536-5973 or visit waylonduff.kw. Waylon Duff with Keller Williams Space Coast Realty is your local realtor who provides all you need and the time you deserve to get your real estate purchased or sold.